Insurance, Yardley Jewelers, The Yardley Inn, Charcoal BYOB, Yardley Pharmacy and Supply, Franco's Tomato Pies, and Bucks County Brush Custom Painting. On the first and third Wednesday of each month, Mayor Harding has all the info on everything going on in Yardley. Now, here's your host, Mayor Chris Harding.
Hey everyone, welcome to Yardley Borough On Air. Jack, welcome back. I haven't seen you in a while.
Great to be back with you. It's been so long.
I know.
Almost 2 months.
We missed a bunch of shows, and then last week when I was back, Charlotte was here.
Yes.
She did a pretty good job. You got big shoes to fill.
I do have big shoes to fill, indeed.
Before we get any further, I have to wish you a happy birthday, because I didn't get to do it, right?
Thank you.
The big 21.
Yes.
So you got out with the family like you said you were going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And you went to an establishment?
Yes.
Okay. Did you have a beer?
I did have a beer.
Just one?
Two.
Two. All mm-hmm. right. Anything else or just two beers?
Just two and more since then.
Good.
I guess.
Well, happy birthday. We're all very happy for you. That allows us to do some more fun things when we do Restaurant a Week, as you and I were talking about. Maybe we can incorporate one or two adult beverages in the Restaurant Week tour this year for you.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
All right,
looking forward to doing that.
Well, we're happy to have you back. And unfortunately, Jack, I wish we could have you back for some fun show about Carry the Load or something like that, but we have a serious topic that we want to talk about today, but it's very important also. So to all our listeners out there, we have in the studio with us John Johnson and his daughter, Alex. Guys, thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
You're very welcome. We've got a lot to cover, obviously, and I'm glad you guys are here because it is a topic we have discussed in the past here on the radio show, and actually a topic that we're going to continue to discuss in Yardley Borough. But the reason we're having you in today is to talk about a bunch of things that kind of all started or focus on actually the loss of your son, Luke, correct?
That's
so obviously from the show and from Yardley Borough, our condolences for the loss. Now,
thank you.
This is, we'll get there. Yep. I have a million questions running through my head. But the first one I have to ask, John, is how do you guys become Patriots fans? You literally know across the hall. Do you know who's sitting on the other side of that door across the hall?
I can see the Eagles helmet.
Okay. So that is Merrill Reese's office. The voice of the Philadelphia Eagles is right in that room. And here you sit, a Patriots fan.
Yeah, I'm a longtime Patriots fan. But I do have a legitimate excuse.
Let's hear it, because there's not many legitimate excuses to be a Patriots fan.
I actually grew up in Manchester, New Hampshire,
okay.
So I'm a transplant here.
Okay.
And I grew up a Patriots fan. And as a good father, my children are Patriots fans as well.
So we probably could do an hour-long debate of whether your children should have been raised as Eagles fans here locally or Patriots fans.
But well, I'm not sure that it would be a debate.
You got it. I would probably do the same with my children, raise them Eagles fans no matter where I live. So I do have respect for that. But I didn't know if kind of what you knew what den you were in right here.
It's a little uncomfortable now.
All right, good. Well, you guys cheated our Super Bowl away from us, but we'll talk about that later.
I didn't throw up on the field either. So.
Fair enough. So as I said, we wanted to talk about your son, Luke. And to people listening, we can start from the beginning, but what is very amazing to me is that this is so raw and recent. I mean, and as I said before we got started, if we go down a path that is uncomfortable, just let me know. And I can only imagine the loss, but it's not like we're talking about the passing of your son that happened 4 or 5 years ago. Tell me a little bit about, you know, the time of your son's passing.
Well, we had it really starts with a 2:30 in the morning police visit to the door, mm-hmm. which is something as a parent, you know, when you see that you've seen it in the movies and you know you know sort of hear about things like that, but when it's your door and you see those two guys standing out there, you know the news isn't going to be good. So. We found out on actually May 18th at 2:30 a.m. Two officers arriving at the door and telling us that our son Luke had passed away in Florida, mm-hmm. That he had overdosed mm-hmm. In his apartment.
So May 18th of this year.
Of
this year. Okay.
Yeah.
He actually passed away on the 17th. We just did not find out.
Until 2:30 in the morning. Okay, so it was
right,
the
on the
before.
Next day. So actually a full day later because he was alone. You know, when you're, right. he was at rehab in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
We had, you know, 8 or 9 months of, you know, very positive results. You know, he worked very hard
mm-hmm.
on his rehab, and unfortunately, he had a relapse.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he passed away.
So we're talking about today, we're going to talk a lot about the heroin epidemic and the opioid epidemic that is going on, and that was what took Luke's life, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, you knew he was from Florida. That was my first question. Did you know he was in Florida? But he was there for rehab.
Yeah, in fact, Luke, you know, he's been battling this disease for about 3 years.
Yeah.
And about 9 months ago, he actually, you know, he had gone to rehab. He had actually started at a place locally, mm-hmm. Livengren. From there, he went to Florida. He came back for a little bit and wasn't doing well.
Mm-hmm.
So he found a place on his own and made arrangements and got to Florida. And for the past 8 or 9 months, you know, he went through detox and, you know, he was very serious about his rehabilitation. We, as a family, we did therapy sessions
mm-hmm.
with him and us, so that it was a, you know, a total family healing type environment,
right?
And you know, he had taken that initiative to get there and to get to a place where he could get help.
Mm-hmm.
I think for him, you know, finding a way to help himself was a really big step.
Now, you mentioned a family, so you guys are not a small family, if my research proves correct, right?
No.
No.
How many children do you have, John?
I have four kids.
Four kids,
so,
okay.
So I have Matt, who's 27 now. He's the oldest.
Yeah, 27.
Matt's the oldest.
Alex, who's here with me.
Alex, yep.
I'm 25.
Okay.
Luke had turned 22 on May 12th.
Okay, so just 22.
5 days before he passed, mm-hmm. and then I have a daughter, Abby, who is 18.
Okay, so 18 to 27, right?
Right.
Okay, well, first of all, congratulations on the family. I almost have to assume that this has affected everyone in the family differently, right? I mean, everyone probably has their own internal reaction, although grief and sadness probably overrides everyone. Alex, and maybe for you, thank you for coming in, by the way.
Thanks for having us.
Do you see a different reaction in maybe your youngest sister versus your older brother? Do they process this differently?
I think it's a funny question because I would say that my youngest sister and my older brother mm-hmm. are very similar in temperament, personality. They're almost the same person. And then Luke and I, on the other hand, are definitely a little bit different. We handle things in a much different way. I would say right. that my little sister, Abby, and my older brother, Matt, sometimes revert to anger.
Uh-huh.
I think that was the initial reaction from the two of them. So I definitely think that as a family, everyone has handled their emotions quite differently.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a very logical person. That's just the way that I think.
Right.
So for me, I had to go through the steps of thinking about what happened and process that way. For me, I really didn't have any anger, and I really still don't.
Right.
I've really tried to focus any anger that I have at the epidemic and anything that's standing in my way of stopping it. But I would say overall, the reaction that everyone has had in the family, whether they've reverted to anger or guilt or frustration, whatever it is, or just plain sadness, we've all come together with one goal in mind, and it's this right here, starting a conversation about addiction, and we all have one goal in mind, and that's saving somebody else's Luke. So,
well, I think obviously, you know, you never, and I don't mean to put words in for you guys, because I have felt this tragedy through friends and people. I think everyone listening probably, if they really looked at their sphere of friends and family, will easily find someone who has dealt with this tragedy. I've been fortunate that personally I haven't lost anyone in my direct family to this epidemic that we're going through. But the fact that you guys so quickly, and again, I know you say Luke was struggling for a couple years and had gone through some rehabs, but so quickly can turn this around and say from, you know, what was the date? I mean, from May 17th to now, we are what, June 21st, maybe? A month to turn that around and have this become about, hey, we are going to stop this, do everything we can to stop this from happening to someone else, is admirable is too small of a word. So, I mean, that's just got to be an amazing thought process as a family.
Yeah, certainly. The emotions are still raw.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, for my part, you know, I find myself in tears, you know, several times a day.
Yeah.
Still. But on the other hand, as Alex said, it's there's an opportunity here to help other people.
Mm-hmm.
And there are other people that don't understand what this is, that don't know how that's caused. And we think that if we can take this opportunity to share our experience and help others not find themselves in the same place, because it's an awful place to be,
sure,
that we've done something good. So
we need to take a quick break, but there's so many things that we can go down. And one thing I want to make sure we do is talk about Luke and all the great things, about who he was and what he did. So when we come back, let's talk a little bit about that. We'll get the audience to know Luke a little bit, all the fantastic things that are out there about him. Then we'll go down the road in terms of some more of talking about this opioid epidemic that we have. I also want to be sure we talk about the charity, is the right word, maybe, or the foundation.
Foundation.
The foundation, there you go, that you guys have created, and we'll make sure we get that all out there, okay? So sit tight, we'll take a quick break, and then we'll come right back, all right?
Great.
We good? All right, good. Jack, do we need to read live, or are you going to just take a quick break? Break now, and then we'll be live coming back in. All right, you're listening to Yardley Borough on Air. We'll be right back.
There is no debate at all when it comes to jewelry stores in our area. One of the region's premier locally owned and operated jewelry stores is Yardley Jewelers. Established in 1976, Yardley Jewelers maintains a large inventory of loose diamonds and colored gemstones, and they specialize in designing and creating custom jewelry using the most advanced technologies combined with superb hands-on craftsmanship. Let Yardley Jewelers design that special holiday gift this year. All their custom-designed jewelry to all repairs are done on the premises at their beautiful downtown Yardley store. Yardley Jewelers is open Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till 2 p.m., and closed on Sunday and Monday.
Nottingham Insurance is deeply committed to the communities they serve and is proud to be a part of Yardley. Since 1917, Nottingham Insurance has been servicing its clients with honesty and integrity. They're a local, family-owned, full-service, independent insurance agency servicing Yardley, Eastern Pennsylvania, and Central New Jersey. Nottingham Insurance offers a broad range of financial services, including business insurance, employee benefits, personal insurance, and financial planning. Nottingham Insurance of Yardley can assist you, and they're dedicated to playing an active role in Yardley and neighboring community organizations. Nottingham Insurance, 169 North Main Street in Yardley and in Hamilton Square. Please call 215-493-1996. That's 215-493-1996. We'll make you a nice cup of Keurig tea or coffee. Nottingham Insurance, 215-493-1996.
We now return to Yardley On Air on 1490 WBCB. Once again, here's your host, Mayor Chris Harding.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Yardley Borough On Air. And the reason we're able to bring you this show is because of our great sponsors. And we want to thank one of them right now. The Continental Tavern, located in the heart of Yardley, is celebrating 150 years as a licensed tavern in Pennsylvania. Jack, this is your tavern.
It is.
It is.
All the time.
They offer the finest in tavern fare and sumptuous spirits in an atmosphere that is reminiscent of bygone days 150 years ago when hospitality was paramount. The Continental Tavern proudly offers 12 great draft beers, a hefty selection of bottled beers, and 9 large LCD TVs on 2 floors for all your sports. You can enjoy family dining at its best in this beautifully restored 18th century tavern. Mondays are Burger Madness with reduced prices on their certified burgers, and each Wednesday, the Continental announces delicious weekly entree specials on dishes including fresh seafood, pasta, ribs, chops, and more. In the warm weather, you can enjoy dining on their newly restored outdoor porch, and they have private dining on the second floor for business affairs or private celebrations. Happy hours are Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. with special drink prices and reduced-priced appetizers. Off-premises catering is available as well. The Continental Tavern open for lunch, dinner, late-night sandwiches 7 days in a week in the heart of Yardley at the corner of Main Street and Afton Avenue, celebrating their 150th anniversary. And, Jack, if you're there, will you sign autographs?
I will. I have.
And go ahead down to sign autographs.
Signed about 10 of them last time I was there.
That's impressive. I don't think I've signed 10 autographs in my life. We need to get your press photo. All right, so let's get back to it. So we are here with John Johnson and Alex Johnson. They are here to talk about, for John, his son, for Alex, her brother, Luke Johnson, who we lost just about a month ago to this opioid epidemic that is rampant not only here locally but nationally. But I want to talk about Luke. We want to learn who he is. So, you know, some of the things that I saw on Facebook, obviously a Pensbury graduate, right?
Right.
But had involvement with a lot of things. So tell me about your son. Tell me about your brother.
Well, Luke, great kid, a lot of fun. He'd like to, you know, snowboard. He played football. He was a big fan of basketball. He loved LeBron James.
There you go.
Tom Brady and the Patriots was, sort of one of his number one passions.
Sure.
But mostly, if I would say the thing that Luke loved most was playing Pensbury football.
Pensbury football. Now, did he start in grade school at Pensbury?
Yeah, he started, he played Pop Warner.
Okay.
Then he, at William Penn, he played 7th and 8th grade football, and freshman through senior year played at Pensbury.
So where you lived, and we don't have to give out the neighborhood, but did he go to Edgewood or did he go to Afton Elementary? Do you know?
Afton
Elementary.
Right.
Okay, so Pensbury boy from the start.
From the beginning.
There you go, good.
Black and orange and played for Galen Snyder, and he had a blast playing football. I mean, it's the thing that kept him, kept him going a lot of the time.
What was his favorite position on the football team that he played? Was he offensive, defensive?
In middle school and so forth, he played running back a bit. Mm-hmm. And he was a fullback. He's a big kid. He was, Luke was close to 6 feet tall, weighed about 200 pounds.
Okay.
So, I mean, strong as an ox. So,
good.
He also wrestled for Pensbury as well.
Oh, okay.
So,
good. And what about when he was at home? Who was Luke at home? Was he someone who would pick on you, even though he was your younger brother, right? A couple years, but I mean, would he drive you crazy, or was he the one that helped you out?
He was a hair puller when we were little, and I had very long hair back then, even as I do now.
Sure.
So I definitely remember those days. Luke was looked like a little cherub. He had like a halo of blonde hair. And he was a pain in the butt when he was little. I mean, I'm his older sister, so I can say that.
Sure.
But Luke was absolutely hilarious. He had this, sense of humor that I can barely put into words because he was so silly, sarcastic, frustratingly so, because if he could get you, he'd get under your skin, but it was funny, so everybody would be laughing with him, even when I didn't think it was funny, when it was geared towards me. But Luke was really just a gentle giant. That's how most people would describe him.
Yeah, his humor was never mean-spirited.
No, right? No.
It was,
teasing.
Teasing.
But he was good at it.
And he was good at it, and everyone would laugh, even the person who's getting picked on a little bit or who's being teased. So I think that's what his friends loved about him most. And, as we talked to a lot of his friends in the last few weeks, the thing that they talked about most was that his sense of humor, and he made everybody around him feel good.
That's fantastic.
And he was just so kind. I mean, you could especially see it. Luke was a huge animal lover. He had a special relationship with our dog Ethel, who everyone keeps asking us if we know the governor Ed Rendell, because he has been referenced in the obituary.
I saw a couple times.
And then again,
a couple references.
So we do not know the governor Ed Rendell, although we would love to help get him involved in our cause. But we're actually referring to our dog Ethel, who actually passed away 2 weeks before Luke.
Oh, okay.
So.
Yeah. So when I saw a couple references that Luke and Ed were maybe together at this point, right?
That's correct. And Ed is the toy terrier chihuahua that was his
little old white dog.
There you go. Good. Now, you mentioned, you got to speak to some of his friends over, I'm sure, there were a lot of people in his world that, was Luke's world, and maybe as a parent or as a sister. I mean, you probably knew some of his friends, Alex, but maybe not all of them. What's been the tone of kind of those reach outs?
Well, for his close friends, and he has friends, that flew in from Washington State, Texas, somebody else who left their graduation, basically walked off the stage with their diploma to get back.
Right.
for all of this. They're all crushed.
Yeah.
It's shocking how close he was to his friends. You always say how those are his buddies and his friends.
Right.
But they carry around for me a little piece of Luke with them.
Mm-hmm.
So our relationship has grown during this period as well.
Sure.
But they're also Alex's friends and my daughter Abby's friends as well. I mean, they've been around. He's had the same group of friends basically for...
Forever.
Right. Growing up together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're all different. You know, college grads. One's a ranger.
Mm-hmm.
The other one works with his dad in a small business. Another one's starting his own business. I mean, they're all different, you know, good kids. And, you know, they miss Luke as dearly as much as we do.
So let me ask you a tough question in terms of having to think about this. And I know that you're here to answer these questions because you want to stop this from happening again. For Luke, how did this start? You know, you hear so much about the different ways. Someone has an injury. Someone, kids are just partying, for lack of a better term, and it just gets out of control. For Luke, do you mind sharing how it started? Do you know?
Yeah, we think, you know, what Luke told us is that actually his first day of high school, a friend of his, a girl that he knew mm-hmm. from middle school, another freshman, gave him a pill,
mm-hmm.
Probably a Percocet,
mm-hmm.
and he took that.
Yep. In the middle of a ninth grade class. This wasn't an outside of school transaction. This happened desk to desk within Pensbury's walls.
Which is one of your points, right? From what I've read, this is one of the things you guys are trying to get out there to not only Pensbury, because that's where Luke went, but to school districts. This is happening and starting with your kids. There seems to be a lot of denial around that issue by some of, by just some people. I mean, I won't even tag it to anyone specific.
I mean, you don't even have to tag it to anyone specific. We all know the parents that are the not my kidders,
right,
who say, oh, never my kid, or my kid wouldn't do that. And mm-hmm. then that even extends to any school, not Pensbury, saying those aren't our students.
Right.
I mean, we've been in touch with a lot of organizations, and I won't say names, but a family friend was calling around for us and was told that the reason that there aren't more extensive programs with schools is because they've done surveys that indicate that students in high school do not do drugs. And so one of the main things that we are trying to do is create some awareness and tell them that that's completely and utterly wrong.
Right.
In fact, during the school board meeting, that survey topic came up,
mm-hmm.
and there was tears in one of the board members' eyes. Because her son is struggling with addiction as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the only drug that they talked about on the survey or was asked about was marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
Heroin was not an option.
Right.
And, you know, for her, you know, it's raw as well because she has someone at home who she loves.
Her son passed away.
No, right. Her older son.
Oh, her older son.
Right. Her son passed.
But the son that's struggling with addiction, it's like it's almost an ignored topic in her mind.
Right.
And she's 100% right. It's something that people don't want to believe is happening.
So in Luke's conversations with either of you, when he said, hey, this is, to the best of your knowledge, this is when it started, did he say, hey, in class, someone gave me maybe a Percocet, and immediately my body felt, did he realize that that was a challenge, or did it progress somewhere down the road? I mean, where does it go from, hey, I took a pill in a classroom in Pensbury High School, to I have to go to rehab?
Yeah, there's a step after that. I think, I don't think the first pill is what got him. I don't know.
Right.
And that's hard to determine because everyone's genetically different.
Sure.
Then Alex can explain some of those differences because she's looked into that more than I have. But later, I think his junior or senior year.
No, this was earlier than that.
One of the mom's sons on the football team, the mom was rewarding Luke and her son with pills as well after games for doing a good job.
Okay.
And we didn't find out either of these things until later when, talked about us, having therapy as a family and sort of going through and then learning some of these
learning
things.
Learning the story, right.
Learning the story bit by bit, and starting to understand, you know, what it does to the person. Mm-hmm. You know, the one thing that we live with that hurts the most is how Luke felt about himself because of this. Mm-hmm. He was ashamed and felt guilty. Mm-hmm. Every day. Mm-hmm. He didn't think much about himself to a point because of this addiction. And we, as much as we felt, you know, we knew it was a disease at this point,
right.
not just a habit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we looked at him and we with pride because of the courage it took for him to take this on and, you know, for 8 months or 9 months and do as well as he did.
And fight it, right.
And fight it as hard as he could. So we're very proud of that. And we felt pride in all the steps he took from taking care of himself, finding a place in Florida, working,
right.
Going through the, you know, going to the meetings, going through the steps that he needed to take to get healthy. And, mm-hmm. and we had a lot of pride in him. But for him, it was shame and guilt.
Right. So, I mean, just coming at it from completely different angles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, does it go from pills to saying, all right, they're hard to get now or they're expensive? I mean, the traditional path that you hear people talk about is, for some reason, you know, the pills become involved, an addiction develops, they become either too hard to get or too expensive to get, and then the less expensive, easy access fix starts to become the heroin. Is that a path similar to Luke's?
Yes, I would say that. Just from my knowledge and just the research that I've mm-hmm. done, it almost always starts with a painkiller. Mm-hmm. So it starts with Percocet, Xanax, oxycodone, whatever, you name it, an addictive opioid painkiller. And yes, like part of the reason that you're looking for that next thing, which is going to be heroin in most cases, usually you don't just stop with those pills, you mm-hmm. move on. It is because it is so cheap to get, but it also has to do with processes that are happening within your brain. So it's not only a choice that you make because, yes, it is significantly cheaper to access heroin.
Right.
Pills can be very expensive. They're not hard to get. If you are able to get them, then I guess you can continue to use those until they stop working. And when I mean stop working, I mean that your brain gets to a certain point. There's a neuroplasticity that you have in which suddenly the pills aren't enough.
Right.
You need something more just to function on a daily basis.
Just to feel normal, right? I mean,
and to feel normal.
About addicts saying, I have to get normal. Right now I have to do this to get normal.
It's the perfect word, too. And Luke used to talk to us, all I want to be, you know, once this has you,
right.
There's no escape. And for him, his drive was to be normal. I just want to be like everybody else. I want to go out, have a little fun. I want to, you know, have a job. I want to move forward. I don't want this anymore.
Right.
And it's inescapable to a point.
All right. I want to ask you some more, if you're okay, in terms of the timeline. I want to kind of dig into that one more step before we move forward. And I talk about the foundation. We'll absolutely get that out there because that is what's going to save other people's lives. Jack, we need to take a break. You want me to read the live reads when we come back? All right, good. All right, you're listening to Yardley Borough On Air with John Johnson, Alex Johnson. We are talking about their son and brother, Luke, and the horrible opioid epidemic we're experiencing now, not only here locally, but across the nation. And you'll be right back with Yardley Borough On Air.
Looking for an utterly unique dining experience without the drive to Center City? One fine dining in a more relaxed setting. Charcoal is a progressive American-style BYOB restaurant located in quaint Yardley, nestled along the banks of the Delaware River. Executive chef brothers Mark and Eric Plesha practice classic French discipline technique fused with the latest postmodern culinary trends. They source the finest in local ingredients in an effort to support neighboring agriculture and bring you a farm-to-plate freshness in each dish. Bring a bottle of your favorite wine and enjoy exceptional food with a little playfulness and a touch of science. Open Tuesday through Sunday, serving breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Visit charcoalbyob.com for menus and more information. All commentators heard on WBCB express their own views. Their opinions are not necessarily those of others on WBCB, including the staff and management. Nottingham Insurance is deeply committed to the communities they serve and is proud to be a part of Yardley. Since 1917, Nottingham Insurance has been servicing its clients with honesty and integrity. They're a local family-owned full-service independent insurance agency servicing Yardley, Eastern Pennsylvania, and Central New Jersey. Nottingham Insurance offers a broad range of financial services, including business insurance, employee benefits, personal insurance, and financial planning. Nottingham Insurance of Yardley can assist you, and they're dedicated to playing an active role in Yardley and neighboring community organizations. Nottingham Insurance, 169 North Main Street in Yardley and in Hamilton Square. Please call 215-493-1996. That's 215-493-1996. We'll make you a nice cup of Keurig tea or coffee. Nottingham Insurance, 215-493-1996.
We now return to Yardley On Air on 1490 WBCB. Once again, here's your host, Mayor Chris Harding.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Yardley Borough On Air. Jack, you talked to me during the breaks. I got to admit, I wasn't even paying attention. What do you want me to do?
Do your live reads, mention our fine sponsors.
Oh, Jammer Doors? All right, great. So one of our great sponsors, Jammer Doors. And actually, Jack, I didn't tell you this. I talked to Charlotte. I think Lou Jammer, the owner of Jammer Doors, may be on our first show in July. He's going to come in.
Awesome.
Yeah, because we're going to talk about Judge Mike Burns, who passed away. And Lou was close with Judge Burns, so I think we're going to have Lou in this, try to have him in the studio or at least call in.
That's good.
So Jammer Doors, for over four generations, the world has looked better when you view it through Jammer Doors and Windows. Located in the Yardley Gristmill at 10 North Main Street in Yardley, and also in Lawrenceville at 2850 Brunswick Pike. Since 1920, Jammer Doors has been part of our community and the premier garage door supplier in the area. They have many different styles to choose from, plus garage door openers, and Jammer Doors installs what they sell. There's no middleman, so you save on the perfect garage door for your home. Jammer Doors and Windows also has garage door openers, entry doors, patio doors, storm doors, metal doors, plus windows and retractable awnings. So avoid the big box stores. Visit Jammer Doors and Windows for the finest selection with exceptional warranties. Jammer Doors and Windows in the Yardley Gristmill at 10 North Main Street and also at 2850 Brunswick Pike, Business Route 1 in Lawrenceville. And then Jack's favorite restaurant on your restaurant tour, right? The Yardley Inn, Jack? Was that it?
Yeah, it was.
All right, good. So the Yardley Inn Restaurant and Bar, known for its fresh, contemporary American cuisine served by a staff with a passion for superior service. The kitchen offers a diverse menu sure to satisfy any appetite, mood, or craving at any time of the day. The dining room offers a warm ambiance that will remind you of home with breathtaking views of the Delaware River. Their weekly specials include 5 for $5 at 5 p.m. And on Monday night, Jack, half-price bottles of wine on Monday night.
I'm here then.
You're in. Well, all right. Well, Monday, you're not here. And you can go Thursday night. It's girls' night at the inn. I don't think you get drink specials, but you can go at least.
I can go.
There you go. Enjoy lunch and dinner specials that feature three satisfying courses at a reasonable cost every day of the week. Whatever it is you're looking for, the Yardley Inn is sure to exceed your expectations. All right, guys, I want to get back to the tough topic. We were talking about how this took hold of Luke. When do you remember the conversation of, okay, Luke has a problem, he's going to go to rehab? That point where we, as a family, hey, was it as a family? Did he come just to you as dad? Did he go to you guys as, hey, I can't talk to mom and dad, but I can talk to my brother and sister? I mean, either of you guys. What was that moment where, yep, Luke's going to go to rehab?
So I don't remember exactly the date, or it was 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, mm-hmm. that actually Abby is the one he told my...
And she's the youngest daughter,
the youngest
right?
daughter. And okay. I think he sort of had... He got scared is ultimately what drove him to tell us.
We could tell something was really off. Mm-hmm. It was just pretty evident at that point that something was going on with Luke. And I had a conversation with him the night that he told my little sister. Mm-hmm. And I just asked him to tell someone, anyone. It didn't matter if it was me, my parents, if it was a friend, our next door neighbor, whoever right. he wanted to share it with, just tell someone. And like my dad said, he was scared, so he picked the most vulnerable person. That's the best way I can
right.
phrase it.
Yeah.
He picked his younger sister.
So I got to ask you questions about that, Alex. So you said something was different with him. For people who may have someone in their family that they don't know yet, did he lose weight? Did he get angry? Did he gain weight? Did he become reclusive? What was different that you saw in your brother?
I mean, it's definitely a combination of things.
Did he lose his smile?
Yeah. I mean, Luke, like any boy at his age when it was all going on, I mean, teenage boys can be really moody, but this was different. And it's almost like, when, I mean, when you're high, you kind of have that euphoria, and then you have that low when you're not using. And Luke was at a low at the point when I approached him and when he told my sister. So, I mean, I couldn't say there was weight loss.
No.
Luke has always looked great.
Right.
Yeah. No weight loss. I would say the two telltale signs were, one, as Alex said, his mood swings.
Mm-hmm.
So he would go from, like, you know, affable and fun and engaged to, you know, kind of surly and, you know, uncomfortable and in his own skin.
Type. Right.
That was part A. And part B, it was his smile. I think you mentioned this, smile. And for me, that changed because it became more restrained.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think until I saw him a couple, you know, weeks ago for his birthday, I don't think I saw a full, you know, joyous smile from him in a couple of years where it wasn't restrained. So those were things that I think I noticed. And, you know, as I think back to it, those were the big things, and I wish I would have known what they meant more.
Yeah. Now, Alex, when you, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying something that I want to make sure I say is that I know that we're talking a lot about opioid addiction, but addiction, any addiction really, especially if you are someone like Luke and many people who have a heroin addiction are drinking.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people who are addicted to drugs like heroin also may have an addiction to heroin. And Luke, when he drank, he didn't just have a beer. He didn't just have two. Luke would drink until he passed out.
Right.
He was always the drunkest person all the time, and he couldn't stop himself. And I think that like in hindsight, was a big indicator of his addictive nature.
Now, when you spoke to him and said, hey, whatever's going on, you got to tell somebody, did you suspect that he had a problem with heroin?
I wasn't really sure what the problem was, and I think in the back of my mind, I knew that it could be something that bad.
Something bad, right.
I knew it was bad, but I also think that I wasn't ready to tell myself that it was that. So I can't say that when everything was happening that I really believed that that was what it was going to be.
Right. John, did you ever think when you saw your son be withdrawn, hey, he's on heroin?
Maybe he was smoking pot with his friends and drinking too much sometimes.
Right.
And I thought that was likely the cause of sort of his, you know, sort of the way he was behaving. Because there was a marked change in his behavior for a few months that where that sort of probably the addiction totally formed with him.
Right.
And I didn't, in my wildest imagination, expect that he was addicted to heroin.
So he tells Abby. And then does Abby come to you, to one of the other children? Does Abby come to you, John?
No, he came to my wife and I.
Oh, he came. So he...
Abby came to me first.
Abby came to you. Okay.
Yeah. And then because Luke wasn't the one who told me, I just asked Abby if she would tell my parents exactly what Luke told her.
Right.
I just felt like it, because I wasn't the one.
Needed to come from her.
Yeah, needed to come from Abby. So then Abby told my parents.
Yep.
Yeah, and, you know, we didn't know anything, you know, in detail about what to do or how to do it or where to get help.
Why would you, right? I mean, you never would expect that this is a life path.
You know, and to some degree, it was a bit of a panic because we knew how serious it was.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't know where to go or what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So our immediate reaction was to start looking for resources and help. And we called our insurance company and so forth, trying to, you know, figure out where we could get him help, because we were desperate at that point and in a panic, not knowing, you know, how bad this was.
Right.
But knowing that help was needed. Now, Alex was a godsend at this point because of her fascination with neuroscience and, you know, being a science nerd.
Right.
She helped us in a huge way understand what had happened to Luke's brain. And I think she can explain that a little bit better
Yeah, I mean,
than I can.
So here you are, Alex, right? So I think you said how old you were before we started, right? I don't want
to. I'm 25.
You're 25. Okay. So, and your dad is obviously older than 25, right? So we're not going to throw that out there, John. But John, I got to guess that, you know, for your generation, the talk of heroin was, you know, what Jimi Hendrix and the rock and roll, you know, the Stones. I
Absolutely.
Mean, right? It was there, right?
It was junkies on the street in New York someplace, yep, living under, you know, rocks and on cardboard boxes.
Alex, at 25, I know that you've had conversations or friends or, I mean, the topic of heroin has been discussed in your generation, right? So it was a little bit different. You had heard about this. I'm not saying you had lost the friends to it, but I mean, you know, it's in that younger world more so than it was for your father. So you helped educate them, not only because of that, but because of what, you know, the classes that you have taken. Share that. I mean, that's amazing, an amazing thing you did for your family.
I won't go into detail about everything that happens to your brain. I would love to, but it's
right.
kind of a topic that would take more time than we've got here.
We can come back. Always.
Yeah, I would love to come back and talk about it. I actually want to create a presentation that's kind of kid-friendly to help them understand what happens, because the education is pretty much say no to drugs.
Right.
And if kids can parrot that back to you all the time, and you can bring in crying moms, but that's not going to affect a teenager. It's going to affect another mother, which we do need to do as well, because
sure.
parents need also to have the same education. But I took a class I think my sophomore or junior year of college, and it was topics in neuroscience, and it was a winter term class, and the basis was about the pathophysiology of drugs. And I just thought it was fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
So from there, I hadn't really thought about it in a while.
Right.
This all happened after I graduated college, mm-hmm. I think right around when I did. So when it came up, like I told you before, I'm a very logical thinker. So that was my first reaction, was to kind of sit back and kind of think about what was happening to Luke in terms of the science
right.
in his brain. So I just convinced, after everything settled down, it wasn't one conversation, it was several. It's normal to have a reaction
mm-hmm.
That's not positive when your child comes to you and says that they have a problem and the problem is heroin. I think that, like, all of the feelings of anger, guilt, sadness, frustration, they cloud your ability to reason. And I think that It did take some time, but once my family was willing to sit with me and listen to what I had to say, and that started with my immediate family, with my dad, my mom, and my little sister,
mm-hmm.
and then it also had to grow out to my extended family. Like you said, we have a very large family, and I can't say that immediately everyone was extremely supportive of Luke mm-hmm. as they are now and were for him.
Right.
But I remember at Thanksgiving, I just explained what was happening, and it was like the light bulb went off for everybody, and suddenly from that point on everybody was invested in Luke's battle, and we were all fighting it with him.
Pretty amazing worldly views for your 25-year-old daughter, huh, John?
Yeah, that makes me very proud that
I can imagine
for that. But yeah, so Alex was, as I said, a godsend, because there were things in my mind that I didn't understand.
Right.
And, you know, our first reaction, as Alex alluded to, was just like, Luke, we got to get you to stop. Okay, so you
yeah.
have to stop.
I mean, as a parent,
it's going to be hard.
Let's lock you in your bedroom, right? We'll do this.
Yep.
Just stop doing it, Luke.
I know,
right?
It's going to be
stop,
tough, but
right?
you have
let's
to do it.
Let's crack the whip. We're going to do it. Yeah.
Yep. And so wrong.
Right.
It is not a thing you just stop.
Yeah.
It's not not understanding that this drug hijacks your brain. You know, I feel almost bad how pushy we were with Luke in the first probably couple of weeks of learning about this, because we were just like, you got to stop. Like you said, you know, lock him in his bedroom, whatever we got to do.
Yeah.
You can't go
yeah,
out with your
right.
friends. We're going to watch you like a hawk.
Right.
It's all that stuff. And it's so, knowing what I know now, it's so naive to think that that's something that would help.
Yeah. All right, so we got to take one more break, but absolutely when we come back, I know there's some notes you want to get to, John, about things you want to share. We want to talk about the foundation. We have to get that out, right?
Right.
We'll do that. There's a couple things I want to ask you about, some things on Facebook in terms of some other messages that I saw that we want to touch base with real quick. So you guys okay for a little bit more?
Surely.
All right, good. We'll be right back with Yardley Borough On Air.
Come to know the new shop right up Yardley. They're all about food. They're all about savings, but most of all, they're all about you. And they're proud to be a part of the community and look forward to giving back to the community and supporting local charities and organizations from Little League teams to civic groups. And at the new shop right up Yardley and the Oxford Oaks Shopping Center, you will always get their butcher's best custom cut meats. All store-made ground beef is made fresh every day and sold only on the day it's made. Their seafood is also delivered fresh daily from their very own fisheries. Shop Right is the only supermarket that has its own fishery facility with an on-site USDC inspector. Seasonal fresh ocean fish from the sea to your table in just 2 days. ShopRite of Yardley has a gourmet cheese department and their very own bakery on the premises and so much more, including Scrunchie's Playhouse for the little ones while you shop. Come to know the new ShopRite of Yardley in the Oxford Oak Shopping Center at 1603 Big Oak Road in Yardley.
The Trenton Thunder, AA affiliate of the New York Yankees, are back for their 24th season of play on the banks of the Delaware River at Arm & Hammer Park. Join us for Super Value Tuesdays, where kids eat for free and all fans can purchase $1 hot dogs. Join us after the game for fireworks on select Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday nights throughout the summer. Tickets start at just $11, and groups of 20 or more can get tickets for $8 each. Visit TrentonThunder.com for more information.
We now return to Yardley On Air on 1490 WBCB. Once again, here's your host, Mayor Chris Harding.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Yardley Borough On Air. You know, we were joking before we had the show that, John, you said, I don't know what if we can talk for an hour. Here we are with 7 minutes left, and
pressed.
I don't think we've even touched base on all the things that we want to get to. So we will put the invitation out there right now. Obviously, once you're on the show, you're always a friend of the show. Anytime you want to come back in, the door is open. Or if you just want to call in and say, hey, Chris, we got to promote this, just call right in. But let's get to the things on your list, and then I have some other questions I want to talk to you about. But let's talk about the foundation first, right? Is that a great place to start?
Right.
All right, good. So you have, out of this, you have created a foundation. It's called Luke's Hero in Me, correct? And
correct.
Then the hero, the word hero and the word in next to each other, obviously address the heroin issue. Tell us about the foundation, and in that, tell people how they can find more about it, how they can donate, all of those great things.
So the foundation, like you said, it's Luke's hero in me, mm-hmm. And it's kind of asking everyone to find the hero in them. So it's find the hero in you and get involved. Mm-hmm. So our two pillars are education and awareness. And part of our vision is to destigmatize addiction. And I know you talked, Chris, about starting a conversation. It's funny because those were my exact words when I spoke at my brother's funeral, was to start a conversation in our community because there are so many people that are suffering silently. Mm-hmm. If you go to our petition, which is kind of where we started with this, it's on the website. So if you go to www.lukesheroandme.org. Uh-huh. You can access the petition, take a look at it. It's geared now towards Pennsbury School Board, but we are going to grow beyond that.
Okay.
After we've accomplished our goals there to get a better educational program in place. You can also access our GoFundMe page, mm-hmm. where you can make a donation. But if you read through the comments on our petition, it is astounding how many families, friends, anyone who has been personally affected by this. It's breaks my heart every time I read one of these stories.
Yeah, we've had over 1,653 people sign the petition and hundreds of comments. And the stories or the comments about how a brother, a friend, a cousin, a nephew, a daughter have suffered through this in some form is amazing.
So a few weeks ago, we had actually, and I think I saw this tagged in one of your Facebook feeds, we had the director of the Levittown Fairless Souls Rescue Squad here to talk about, to begin our conversations. They are locally, famous is the wrong word, but they have started posting heroin statistics on their sign out front of the rescue squad. And, you know, their most recent post is there's been 155 overdoses in Levittown this year, and 14 of those people have passed away. There was a chilling comparison photo that I had in my notes somewhere, but I get in here and I start throwing papers all around, about how that had grown since this time last year.
It almost doubled.
It almost
since
doubled.
The same time, it was about 70-something and maybe 9 overdose, yeah. actual death yeah. from the overdose.
In the news article, I also saw one of the – someone, and let's just see. It says an extended family member of Luke Johnson asked his student to put together a list of recent Pennsbury graduates who succumbed to addiction. They came back with a list 35 names long.
That's right. And those are the ones that we could find.
Right. It wasn't a ton of research to come up with 35. It's just right. too
and,
easy.
And Luke wouldn't even be part of the statistics because he died in Florida. So, I mean, there are other people who are, you know, going to facilities and for rehab and so forth that are dying there that you know, don't even show up in our statistics.
Right.
You know, at this point, I can take you through a couple stats. Like 95 million people in the United States today use opioids. And that's more than people that smoke, that use tobacco.
Wow.
And there are 2 million people who are dependent on opioids at this point. 2 million across the United States. In our county, 26 out of every 100,000 people are an opioid user. 26.
It's unbelievable.
But most of these numbers that we call out are, there's a lag time between when they actually get this information and when we're reading it out to you. So
right.
Trust me when I say that in 2017, when they actually have all the numbers, it will appear so much worse.
Yeah, there are
because it's rapidly, the rapid expansion of this problem is something that we haven't seen before.
Right. It's thousands of kids. And it's mostly people under the age of 26 mm-hmm. that are dying.
I went to a funeral 2 weeks ago in Yardleyboro for a young woman. She was either 27 or 29, daughter of a work associate. And I had the conversation with someone there that if you go to a funeral now but for someone between 18 and 35, your first reaction is, it's a heroin overdose. I mean, that's where your mind goes to.
Yep.
And that's wrong. I mean, we can't have this going on.
No, it's killing our community at the end of the day.
Yep.
And our most precious resource, which is our kids.
Absolutely.
Those young people who are supposed to be, you know, taking on the future. Many of them are dying.
Yeah. Let's with the funds that you guys raise. What's your goal to do with those funds? I think from your told us you were close to. I had it in my notes here, but
about
they've gotten all spread out.
$4,500.
Yeah, getting real close to $5,000. If somebody wants to donate, www.lukesheroinme.org. Okay.
That's correct.
What's your goal to do with the funds? Or do you not know yet?
Well, we are going to use it, as Alex noted, for education and awareness.
Okay.
That's part A. As we move forward, we'd like to also have funds available to help someone in need.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be someone who's either suffered from this or in some fashion escaped this, that mm-hmm. we can maybe make a small contribution to their education or something like that.
Any way to help the problem in many general ways, right? That's the reason for the funds. Alex, what do you want the people listening to know about Luke? I mean, or Luke's problem. What do you need to share?
I want to share that Luke is just like any of you listening. He is no different because he was a heroin addict. He was so much more than his addiction. And that's could be said for every single addict that you meet. I mean, there's a person in there. There's someone who's suffering in their mind every day. And it is a disease. And if you're afraid to call it that, let's call it a disorder. It really doesn't matter because these are people that are loved. These are people that are our future, like my dad said. And my brother was an amazing person. And I'm going to have to live the rest of my life without him. But if you're in doubt about the scope of this epidemic, if you're in doubt about it affecting you, I certainly hope it never does. But please take a moment and really do your research and be sure that your opinion is not just an opinion. Look at the facts. Mm-hmm. There are so many facts about addiction out there. And please just know that there is help if you're listening and you are an addict. There are people out there like us who are here and we're fighting with you. And it's a battle that I will never understand. Being an addict is something that I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. And that's something that Luke often said was that, I mean, my mom would tell him, I wish I could take this addiction from you. And he would say, no, you don't. It's the worst thing ever. So just know that we're here and we're fighting for you, whether you accept that or know it.
John?
I don't know if I could really add to that.
She does pretty well, doesn't she?
Yeah, she does pretty well. Yeah. I think when you next time you take a look at someone that you think is an addict, I think twice, as Alex said. This is someone's son or brother or husband or wife or niece or nephew. Mm-hmm. And that person is stuck in a very terrible place. And more than your anger, they need your help. And I think, or more than the stigma that's in your mind, they need your help. And I think we need to find a way to help these people.
As I said from the beginning, our condolences to your family. You have a home. As long as I'm mayor, you have a home and a voice through this show and through Yardley Borough to communicate your message, to spread your education, to grow Luke's hero in me. Anything we can do, please let us know. I hope the people listening realize the gravity of this conversation. And as we said, we're going to just start the talk, right? Yeah. I mean, this is we didn't ever want to come together for this reason, but here we are, and we need to do something to make sure it doesn't happen again. And if we can do that in Luke's name, then that's fantastic.
In the name of God, we should do that.
Absolutely. Now, everybody listening, John, you wrote something. I want to finish up. You wrote something on your Facebook page. And are you okay if I read a post that you made?
Sure.
I think it's I'm not trying to do it to be to read things that would upset you, but I think it's such a poignant post that I think it's the way that we should leave this conversation. On May 21st, you wrote, "I miss my son. Every second feels like an eternity without him. This hole in my heart will not heal. Luke is in the Lord's arms, my only solace."
That's it.
All right, guys. Thank you for coming on. All right? You always have a voice here. Thanks for what
Thanks
you do.
Thanks for having us.
You got
Thank
it.
I appreciate it.
All right, Jack, we're going
to
go on, right? We're going to try to talk with Wendy. All right, good. So we're going to run over. So listen, we're going to do an extended Yardley Borough On Air radio show. We need to talk about another charity that WBCB works with, the Relay for Life, and we are actually going to call our great friend Wendy and see if she can talk for a little bit. So stick with us. We're going extended. You're listening to Yardley Borough On Air.
Serving you better than ever before. This is 1490 WBCB Levittown, Fairless Hills, Trenton. Looking for an utterly unique dining experience without the drive to Center City? Want fine dining in a more relaxed setting? Charcoal is a progressive American-style BYOB restaurant located in quaint Yardley, nestled along the banks of the Delaware River. Executive chef brothers Mark and Eric Plesha practice classic French discipline technique fused with the latest postmodern culinary trends. They source the finest in local ingredients in an effort to support neighboring agriculture and bring you a farm-to-plate freshness in each dish. Bring a bottle of your favorite wine and enjoy exceptional food with a little playfulness and a touch of science. Open Tuesday through Sunday, serving breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Visit charcoalbyob.com for menus and more information. Nottingham Insurance is deeply committed to the communities they serve and is proud to be a part of Yardley. Since 1917, Nottingham Insurance has been servicing its clients with honesty and integrity. They're a local family-owned full-service independent insurance agency servicing Yardley, Eastern Pennsylvania, and Central New Jersey. Nottingham Insurance offers a broad range of financial services, including business insurance, employee benefits, personal insurance, and financial planning. Nottingham Insurance of Yardley can assist you, and they're dedicated to playing an active role in Yardley and neighboring community organizations. Nottingham Insurance, 169 North Main Street in Yardley, and in Hamilton Square. Please call 215-493-1996. That's 215-493-1996. We'll make you a nice cup of Keurig tea or coffee. Nottingham Insurance, 215-493-1996.
We now return to Yardley On Air on 1490 WBCB. Once again, here's your host, Mayor Chris Harding.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Yardley Borough On Air. Jack coverage, right?
Bonus time. It's always good to have a few extra minutes on.
It is, absolutely. And before we move to our next guest, who is we can't wait to talk to one more time, if you'd like to get involved in helping out the charity for Luke Johnson, it's www.lukesheroinme.org. Check it out. A great place to go and start to educate, start the conversation. We need to do that, and we will continue to do that here on the Yardley Borough On Air radio show. All right, Jack, I think we got our special caller on
the
line.
We do.
Right? Wendy, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, it's so good to hear your voice.
Yeah, no laryngitis now. My voice is finally coming back.
Well, so. I miss you here. Our paths haven't crossed, but typically I was thinking this morning, Wendy, for the past three or four shows in years past, we would be talking about Relay every show. And
I know.
I didn't get the opportunity to do that, and I felt horrible. So I asked if we could give you a call, and I wanted to talk about Relay and all the amazing things that go on with that and make sure we let everybody know. So let's tell everyone what's going on this weekend.
Saturday, 11 a.m., Relay for Life will be at Penns Ferry in Fairless Hills. It will also be in Bensalem. The two events are on the same weekend. So wherever you live closer, try to attend. At 11 o'clock, we have a quick open, and then we have a survivor lap. Uh-huh. And so anyone who's ever heard the words, you have cancer, is welcome to come and participate in that for free. They walk one direction, and their caregiver goes the other way, and they meet in the middle down by the score thing. What's it called?
Scoreboard.
And then they have a luncheon, and we go out in the field and we make a big ribbon out of people and take a picture. So it's a celebration of survivorship, which is what Relay is all about. And we want more and more survivors.
Yep.
Now, which is really hitting home.
Absolutely. Well, you just brought it up. So this year is, and again, if we have to stop the conversation anytime, you just let me know. This year is very, for who knows what reasons, is very different this year. You know, you've always been this champion for Relay, and in the past, you know, I've talked to you when we had the shows, and you would bring in different people with the organization, different survivors, and we'd have these conversations. And in a year, your position in this organization has changed very dramatically.
Yeah, it sure has. On December 30th, I got my own diagnosis. So, yeah, the world gets turned upside down at that day.
Yep.
And usually I'm good talking about this, but following the Johnsons is really hard.
Well,
I've known families, I've been to those funerals, and it's like I was bawling before you called me. So...
Well, I didn't mean to do that. I mean, you're always such a wonderful person to talk to, and
okay.
Full of spirit. And can I ask you, you made the choice, Wendy, to make your diagnosis and chronicle your path after that very public.
Very public.
What was that in that decision?
To try to educate people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what I do with Relay for Life.
Mm-hmm.
I stand up there every year and I say to these women, get your mammogram. I say to your guys, you know, make sure you know your PSA, whatever it is.
Right.
I'm encouraging people to get these tests every year. I get these tests every year. I had a shadow on a mammogram 3 years in a row in the same spot. And this year I found a lump where I had a shadow.
Mm-hmm.
And they did an ultrasound and diagnosed it immediately with the ultrasound. So I'm not sure mammograms are enough anymore. I need to be a voice, and I need to share my experience so people don't let that go. If there's a question on a mammogram, if you feel a lump, don't be content with just a mammogram. Ask for an ultrasound, too. Research, our relay dollars has helped in a lot of grants for research. That's where it comes from, when they try a new test and it works.
Right.
Well, they tried a new test and it worked, and I got my diagnosis. It was already in a lymph node, which means more chance of it spreading. So I had to take aggressive chemotherapy, which I'm done with now.
Congratulations.
But that will be followed by surgery and then radiation, and then 5 years of pills. So it's not over just because one kind of treatment is over.
Right.
And the kind of treatment I had damaged my heart. So on my last chemotherapy, I went into congestive heart failure. And I remember, like, passing out right before they intubated me while I was still in the chemo room. It happened within 15 minutes or 5 minutes, maybe, from when I said to them, I really can't breathe, to when I was intubated. And I was in an office at St. Mary Hospital, and they called an ambulance to take me around to the emergency room. I was that far, almost gone. And it's the treatment that caused that. But what do you do? What are your choices when they tell you you have cancer,
right,
and we want to do this chemotherapy?
Well, being a voice seems to be the theme of today.
Yes.
So it is a fitting day. Now, again, if I ask you,
I'm a
horrible radio person because I never learned radio, right, Wendy? Nobody ever taught me how to do a radio show. But I have all these questions going through my head, and I probably have no filter. And somebody would probably say you shouldn't ask questions. But
I have no filter either.
I think they're just the questions that people listening would ask. You know, you mentioned the survivor lap.
Yeah.
How have you thought about how you're going to walk halfway around that track? I mean, the emotions, where you used to watch that lap and think, wow, I'm doing a good thing. Wow, I'm helping these people out. I'm here as a volunteer, and you spent a ton of time on this as a volunteer. Walking
14 years.
Being forced, I don't want to say being forced into walking that survivor lap, but being just walking that halfway around that track, have you thought about what emotions are going to be running through your body at that point?
No, not yet. I have enough emotions watching both of my parents head to the survivor side. And some of my best friends are there. And my kids' best friends are there. Like, they're all walking in that survivor lap. And I really don't know how it's going to feel until I actually get there. And because of the congestive heart failure, I'm having trouble breathing. So I may be in a wheelchair just because I can't do the walking. I may not even be walking, but I'll be participating in
You'll be there. Yep. Well.
And so, I mean, I have a hard time walking.
But we'll be there with you. We will be with you on that walk, Wendy, in spirit and in thought. If we can't be there physically, we'll all be thinking about you. We've been thinking about you all the time here anyway. Every time I walk in the door, I look at down the hallway to see if you're here, and I hope every time you are. So, again, if somebody wants to be involved, soon enough we'll have you here. Jack said he'll carry you.
Yes.
Oh, no, he won't.
So if somebody wants to get involved in Relay Wendy, real quickly, in terms of where they should go, is there a website, a Facebook page, or should they just show up on Saturday?
Yes, yes, and yes.
Okay.
There is a website. It is relayforlife.org.
Okay, relayforlife.org.
/PA Fairless Hills.
All right, excellent. We will send everyone to that. And if they have any questions, they can call the radio station, 215-949-3232, and we can give them information also.
Yes.
All right.
And,
Wendy.
Or show up anytime during the 24 hours. It's 11 a.m. to 11 a.m. Come walk a lap with us at midnight. midnight we have coffee with the committee. You know, it's like everybody just sits down and talks about the pros and cons of the day. And
there you go.
If they want to get involved and if, you know, they had any suggestions or
11 a.m.
whatever.
This Saturday to 11 a.m. on Sunday morning at the Pensbury High School field where they play the varsity football games, the track there. Okay. Anybody needs information, call the radio station. Wendy, we miss you.
We miss you.
Thank you.
I don't have to tell you to stay strong because I know that you will, but just know that we're all thinking about you. Have an amazing weekend. Thanks for all you do.
Thank you.
We'll see you soon. All right.
Okay.
All right, Jack. This show is, we need to just play some music, I think, right? We've done good this morning, but, you know, it's been very heavy. A lot of serious topics, and that's what we need to do. But I appreciate you giving me a few moments over bonus time. And we're going to follow up. Our next show is the first Wednesday in July. So we'll get that scheduled. Jack, it's good to see you as always.
Good to see you. Wednesday in July.
I look forward to it, buddy. And everybody, thanks for listening to Yardley Borough On Air, and we'll talk to you soon.
Serving you better than ever before. This is 1490 WBCB Levittown, Fairless Hills, Trenton.